The Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show.
Welcome now to our show. Here's a friend you all know. Charlotte Greenwood is with us.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Charlotte Greenwood is brought to you this Sunday and every Sunday at this time by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards to remind you that every time you want to remember someone, you'll find a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say the way you want to say it. So when you choose a card, look on the back for the three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Yes, don't forget, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And here is our star, that lovable lady of stage, screen, and radio, Charlotte Greenwood. Barton residence where Charlotte is bringing up the three Barton children, young Bobby and teenaged Barbara and Jeff. It's a calm, tranquil spring day, but the calmer the spring, the harder the fall. It all starts with Bobby rushing into the dining room and saying,
"Charlotte."
"Well, young man, it seems to me you're a little late getting home from Sunday school."
"I stopped at Skinny Demon's house."
"Huh?"
"Yeah, Charlotte, when I go to heaven, will I have to wear one of them white nightgowns like in the pictures?"
"Well, I hadn't thought about it. Why, Robert?"
"Oh, nightgowns are sissy. Couldn't I just wear my pajamas?"
"I think that could be arranged."
"Sure glad of that. Gee, when you find yourself in heaven, Aunt Charlotte, what will you be wearing?"
"I imagine a surprised expression." "Oh, Junior."
"Is Junior here?"
"Yes, I invited him to lunch. He's turning the ice cream freezer."
"You calling me, Miss Greenwood?"
"Yes, Junior. We'll have a buffet luncheon. I'll put the salad and meatloaf and things on the sideboard, and I think we'd better eat at the table."
"Yes, indeed."
"Now, let's see. Now, there'll be Barbara, Robert, Jack, you, and I. Oh, yes, at church this morning, I invited a friend of Barbara's, Patricia Wells. You better put in an extra leaf, will you, on the table?"
"Yes, yes. Six people for lunch and an extra leaf on the table."
"Mm-hmm. Robert, run and get the leaf, will you, while Junior pulls out the table?"
"Okay, Charlotte."
"Say, Miss Greenwood, did I ever tell you about my uncle's Jersey cow?"
"Uh-uh."
"Oh, a very remarkable creature. Very remarkable animal. We reduced her once. Didn't feed her for a week. And then I took a picture of her and I got it in Esquire."
"I bet that's the only time Esquire ever printed a picture of an empty jersey." "Oh, there's someone at the door. You and Robert fix the table, will you?"
"Yes."
"Why, good morning, Howard."
"Hi, Miss Greenwood. Is Barbara here, huh? Is she here?"
No, Barbara hasn't come home yet." "Have you had your lunch?"
"Oh, no."
"Uh-huh. Well, come right on in."
"Thank you."
"Barbara stopped off at Patricia Wells' house. She's bringing Pat home to lunch."
"Pat Wells is coming here?"
"Uh-huh."
"Gee, gosh, golly, Pat. She's just my type. You know, sophisticated." "Oh, she's been engaged twice. You know how it is."
"No, how is it?"
"You see, first she got engaged to Jeff Hawley, and then she went away to school in New York and got engaged to a fellow named Teddy Warner."
"Nice. She's got a very engaging personality."
"Yes, sir. Oh, engaging." "Yeah. Well, I don't see why anybody wants to get engaged. It just leads to marriage." "Have you ever sat down and thought about marriage?"
"Sometimes I sat down and thought about it, and the rest of the time I stand up and think about it." "Go ahead. Now, what happened to Jeff, what's his name?"
"Jeff Hawley." "Uh-huh." "Well, when he saw in the paper about Pat getting engaged to somebody else, he wrote her a letter and called everything off. You know, got carried away by anger."
"Ah, that's bad business, that letting yourself be carried away by anger. You know, you might have to walk back."
"Yeah. Well, anyhow, to get away from his troubles, he just up and joined the Navy."
"Well, that's a funny place to go to get away from trouble."
Pat didn't marry that New York fella, so that leaves a fair field for me, don't it, huh? Don't it, huh?"
"Well, Howard, isn't Patricia Wells just a little old for you?"
Oh, I ain't as young as I am. Mm-hmm. I mean, I ain't as old as I used to be because I never was.
Look, Howard, you're 16. Now, how old is Pat?
Oh, Pat's just turned 22.
Well, turn 22 any way you like. It's still 22.
Miss Greenwood.
Howard, will you wait in the living room now, and I'll let you know when Barbara and Jack get here.
Oh, okay, Miss Greenwood.
Junior, yes. Howard Morton's here for lunch. Now, we'll have seven people instead of six. Will you set the table for seven?
Yes, I'm seven instead of six.
Yes.
See, I forgot to tell you, that Jersey cow, my uncle's, we left her out in the rain. And now she's only about one-fourth the regular size.
Oh, Junior, that's impossible.
Impossible nothing. A wet jersey always shrinks.
Oh, just a moment.
Here we are, Aunt Charlotte.
Oh, hello, Pat.
I hope I'm not late, Miss Greenwood. I didn't even stop to change my dress. Do I look all right?
Oh, that dress brings out the blue in your eyes beautifully.
Oh, thank you. I left home in such a rush. If you don't mind, I'll pretty up a bit.
I've never seen anyone who needed it less, but Barbara, you take Pat up to your room.
Oh, she needn't bother. I know where her room is. I'll only be a moment. I just want to pin these flowers on my dress.
Don't worry about what's on it. You'll do all right with what's in it. Barbara, Howard Morton is here.
Oh, but he told me he'd come after lunch.
Yes, I think that's what he did come after. Anyhow, I invited him to stay. Oh, do you know Jeff Hawley?
Aunt Charlotte.
Hmm? What?
Don't ever refer to him in front of Pat.
Who, Jeff Hawley?
Aunt Charlotte, for goodness sakes.
Well, for goodness sakes, what's the matter?
Don't talk about him. It caused Pat the two unhappiest years of her whole life. If you as much as mentioned Jeff Hawley in front of her, she'd walk right out of this house.
Well, all right, I won't mention it, but if it's that serious, you better go in and warn Howard. He's in the living room.
I will. If only Howard would get some sense.
Oh, it's you, Jack.
Yeah, and Aunt Charlotte, I'd like you to meet a friend of mine. He's in the Navy. Just got back from the South Pacific.
Well, you don't say. The Navy certainly agrees with you, young man. Have you had your lunch?
Why, no.
Uh-huh, well, come in.
This is my aunt, Charlotte Greenwood.
Thank you, Mrs. Greenwood.
Only it isn't Mrs. Greenwood, it's Miss Greenwood.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're sorry. Oh, Junior.
Miss Greenwood, won't mind staying for lunch and convenience?
Oh, not at all. Besides, there'll be some young ladies here who really go for a Navy uniform.
Oh, what's so attractive in a Navy uniform?
A sailor.
Yes, I'm coming.
Junior, put another leaf in the table. Instead of seven for lunch, we'll have eight.
Eight?
I said eight, yes. How's the ice cream coming along?
Gee, homemade ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Say, how about me giving you a hand to turning that crank?
Oh, fine. Just ready to put the cream in. Too bad, though, we ain't got a shrunken cow like my uncle had.
A shrunken cow?
Yeah.
Now, what's a shrunken cow good for?
Condensed milk.
You know, Aunt Charlotte, Jeff used to be scoutmaster of my troop.
Jeff?
Yeah, Jeff Hawley.
You mean that young man is Jeff Hawley?
Charlotte, will you please stop talking about Jeff Hawley?
Well, what do you mean, stop talking about Jeff Hawley? I brought him home with me, and Aunt Charlotte invited him to stay for lunch.
Oh, Aunt Charlotte, how could you? Well, you've got to ask him to leave. You've got to explain to Jeff and let him put his pride in his pocket.
Did you ever see the size of a sailor's pocket? He's bound to have more pride than that.
Well, what do you mean? Ask him to leave. Well, Jeff Hawley's a friend of mine. I've been closer to him than any friend I've ever had.
I don't care. Pat Wells is upstairs.
Oh, for corn's sake, who invited Pat?
Well, I guess I did.
If Pat sees Jeff here, she'll never speak to us again.
Yeah, and Jeff isn't so anxious to see her either.
Dear, I'm sure everything will turn out lovely. Well, if it isn't Janet Gregory, well, have you had your lunch?
Why, no.
Uh-huh. Well, come in.
I will. But I don't know whether I'll stay. Mr. Jack Barton said he'd come for me in his car. But he doesn't bother to keep his promises.
Oh, now, Janet, you know Jack keeps his promises. He simply forgot.
Well, how would you be feeling when you are the type men forget?
Oh, I'm feeling fine.
Anyway, Janet, I didn't forget. I was coming over later. I had someone else in my car.
Jack brought home a very dear friend for lunch.
That's right, Janet. A friend he's been very, very close to.
Oh, hello there, Janet. How are you?
Oh, Pat Wells. So you're the friend who's here for luncheon?
Why, yes, I guess so.
You're the one Jack's been so close to.
Oh, but he didn't mean that close.
Hey, now, wait a minute.
Janet, the friend Jack brought home for lunch is...
Hey, Charles, don't mention that name.
Hey, where is everybody, huh? Where is everybody, huh? Pat Wells! Oh. Hello, Pat.
Hello, Howard.
Gee, that's a swell-looking dress. What is it, a formal tea gown?
Oh, no, it's just a simple little dress. I never wear it for teas.
No, it certainly has that effect.
Howard, dear, would you like to take me into the living room?
Huh? What for? What do we do? Huh?
Oh, you can whisper some sweet nothing in my ear. I'll bet you're good at that.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of guess I am sort of good for nothing.
Well, how do you like that? My best girl and my best pal.
Jack, stop shouting. Your face is all red.
Uh-huh. It looks like a bad case of poison envy.
Okay, folks, the ice cream is... Pat.
Oh, Jeff Hawley.
It's all a mistake, Pat. It's all a mistake.
I think I'd better be going, Jack.
Oh, no, Jeff.
Now, children, if you'll listen just for a minute, I'll explain. You see, it happened to Jeff.
I'm not interested in Mr. Hawley, and really, I think I'm the one to go.
Oh, but, Pat, you can't do that. Lunch is all ready. Everything's all arranged.
Well, all right, I'll stay, but I hope you'll excuse me right after lunch.
Me too.
Jack, dear, let you and I go in the living room. Perhaps you could whisper some sweet nothings in my ear.
What do you say, Barbara? Do you mind if I tell you some sweet nothing?
I see. When a man likes you, he simply says nothing. I'm beginning to see how popular I've been. Now,
yes.
Just a second, Junior. Yes. Now, all of you go in the living room.
Yes, yes. Hey, what's the matter with that bunch?
Well, I have a hunch that bunch needs lunch. Now, hurry it up, will you? And, Janet Gregory's just dropped in. Instead of 8, there'll be 9.
9? Uh-huh. Now, just a second, Adrian.
Oh, excuse me,
Junior. Oh.
Well, Judge Cronin and Mr. Anderson, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Mr.
Darling.
Well, boys, have you had your lunch?
Why,
Junior, it'll be 11.
Well, we were really out for a little walk. You know, I love walking.
Except he rode all the way out here in my car.
Well, riding in your car, Mr. Anderson, would make anyone love walking.
Well, if Conan keeps putting on weight, he will walk. I'm taking no chances on busting a spring.
Oh, fiddly-diddly. I never saw anyone so fussy about a car. Anderson takes better care of it than he would a baby.
No, there's no shortage of babies. So they tell me.
Aunt Charlotte, you've got to do something. Janet and Jack are mad. Pat and Jeff won't speak. Everybody's snarling at each other. In a minute, they'll all be walking out of the house.
Walking out of the house? Wait, I've got an idea. Junior?
Yes, Jim, lunch is ready right now.
Yes, well, we're not having lunch.
What?
We're going to have a picnic.
Picnic?
Aunt Charlotte, if they can't get along here in a comfortable house, how are they going to get along somewhere in a picnic?
That's right.
Besides, how would we go?
Oh, Howard will be glad to take his car.
One car for all those people?
Mr. Anderson has a car.
Well, you see, Charlotte, the gas shortage, you know.
Yes, well, we can use a little gas to show a sailor a good time. Now, come on, now, let's get everything packed.
Yes, and I suppose the basket is the best container for the food. But what do you figure is the best milk container?
Your uncle's cow. Now, come on, now, let's get started. We'll have a perfectly lovely day.
There's something exciting about getting mail. When the postman rings, we have a pleasant feeling of anticipation, even though we don't always find the sort of mail we hope for. But when we do, what a difference it makes. Yes, just finding a card that says hello from a friend can start the day right. It can set us up for days to come. Why not go to your Hallmark dealers and see how many ways you can make your friends happy at mail time? For there are Hallmark cards to answer practically any purpose. Cards that simply tell someone he's not forgotten. And birthday cards. Sentimental, affectionate. Some, too, that laugh off the years with a clever, humorous greeting. You'll find cards in faultless taste for wedding congratulations, for anniversaries. You can send best wishes for that new arrival. Or encourage a friend in the hospital with a comforting cheer card. You'll always find a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say, the way you want to say it. Hallmark cards are on display at America's finest stores. Don't forget, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And so back to our story. Charlotte's luncheon, originally planned for 6 people, has turned into a picnic for 11. They're now on their way to the picnic ground. In the first car are Charlotte, Willie Anderson, and Judge Cronin in the front seat, with Jack and Janet, Pat and Jeff in the back seat, and still Vickers.
Aunt Charlotte, I don't see Howard's car. I thought he was going to follow along right behind us.
Oh, Howard will be along. He has a road map. I marked it very plainly for him.
Well, I wouldn't even trust Howard with a road map.
Well, he isn't the only boy I wouldn't trust. All men are deceivers.
All men? That's a laugh.
Yes, all men, Jeff Hawley. Oh, I wouldn't trust a man as far as a corner.
I trusted a girl as far as New York once. What a mistake that was.
Oh, I don't know. Miss Greenwood, you've heard about a sailor having a sweetheart in every port.
Yes, Pat, I think the Navy arranges things wonderfully. Imagine what would happen if all his sweethearts were in one port.
That isn't anything to laugh about.
Oh, now listen, Janet, I...
And while we're on the subject, I know some girls who can't be trusted either.
Meaning who?
Never mind.
Well, anyway, I prefer Marines.
Don't tell me that Teddy Warner, your New York boyfriend, was a Marine.
No, but at least a Marine's motto is Semper Fidelis. And if you remember your Latin, that means always faithful.
Oh, I wouldn't even trust a Marine too far.
Too far is all right. Just watch out when one gets too near.
Turn right, Mr. Anderson.
Right? Are you sure, Charlotte?
Well, according to this road map.
Look out, Charlotte. What are you doing?
Well, I'm trying to unfold this map.
Well, keep it out of my face. I can't see the road.
Turn right. Turn right.
Now, Anderson, he's out.
Charlotte. Now look what you made me do. Run off the road and hit a tree.
So why didn't you drive around it?
Maybe he didn't have enough gas.
Anyway, we can be thankful we weren't going very fast.
Oh, well, now let's all get out. It's such a perfectly lovely day.
Oh. Oh. What's the matter?
Oh, what, Mr. Anderson?
Look. Look. Oh. My front bumper.
Oh.
My beautiful front bumper. Completely devastated.
Well, it's your own fault, Anderson. If I were driving, I'd have a way of protecting my front bumper.
Yes, he put it in the back.
Exactly. No, no. I'd use my head.
And you've got just the head for it.
I knew you'd have to admit it. I did these... Hey, wait a minute. I'm not certain, but I seem to detect a slur in that remark, Anderson.
Oh, come on.
I think you used
it. This isn't getting us to the picnic ground. Let me have a look at that motor. If there's something wrong, maybe I can fix it.
Fix it? Oh, yes, he's very good at repairing a car and breaking an engagement.
I didn't break our engagement, Pat, and you know it.
Oh, no. You didn't write me a letter and say you never wanted to see me again, did you?
Now, children, think before you speak. By digging into the past, you're missing the present.
Our engagement was broken when you got engaged to Teddy Warner. But do you believe in being engaged to two men at once? Well, why don't you answer?
I don't have to answer. And if you imagine I wanted to see you again, you're very wrong.
Well, I think you're both wrong and saying things you're going to be very sorry for later. Now, come on, Jeff. Let's have a look at the motor.
Okay.
And you too, Mr. Anderson.
Look at my beautiful
oh,
bumper.
Oh, that bumper again.
A fine picture.
Well, we're
borrowing your bumper.
Oh, gee, Pat, I'm sorry about all this. Especially it's happening to a wonderful friend.
Jack, so you're finally confessing about you and Pat.
Hmm?
Well, you weren't fooling me anyhow.
Janet, for goodness sake, what are you talking about?
Oh, you don't know, do you? Not even when Jack comes right out and calls you his wonderful friend.
Oh, did he say that? Why, I never knew he cared.
Well, now, wait a minute, Janet. You see,
it's
I meant
perfectly
that...
plain what you meant. Well, I have no intention of spoiling your wonderful friendship. You can have the whole day to yourself. I'm going home.
Yeah, but if you'll only let me... Wait, well, you can't walk all the way home. Janet, wait a minute. Janet!
Janet! Janet, we found out what's the matter with the car.
Oh, now, where are they going?
Jeff, I think we can get a distributor arm at the garage that we saw down the road.
Sure, when the other car gets here, somebody can drive back.
Mm. Hey, I wonder how far we are from the picnic ground. Oh, let's see here. Miss Greenwood.
Yes?
There's something definitely wrong with your map.
I've suspected that for years.
I mean, this road map. Well, look here. It was put out in 1935.
Oh, good grief.
And the food's in the other car. Lost.
Oh.
Starving.
Oh.
Maroon.
Oh.
1,000 miles from nowhere.
And my beautiful bumper broke.
Oh, again with that.
All bumper. We need now is a nice rain.
Oh, don't be absurd, Mr. Anderson. On a marvelous spring day like this, it certainly isn't going to rain.
No, it won't rain. Oh,
it's going to rain, huh? Oh, no. That isn't rain that's starting to fall. That's soup.
Just our luck, no soup spoon.
Car upholstery will be ruined, too. Come on, Cronin, help me put the car up.
Well, hurry.
Greenwood, I'm terribly frightened of lightning.
Well, Pat, darling, don't come near me. You know, in a thunderstorm, stay away from tall objects.
Oh, Jeff!
Oh, Jeff. Oh, it's wonderful to be in your arms again. Jeff, I didn't mean what I said today. I didn't mean it.
I didn't mean what I wrote in that letter, sweetheart. I shouldn't have sent it. It was all my fault.
Oh, no. I should have explained to you. Only I was too stubborn.
No, I was. I acted like a fool. You don't have to explain.
But I want to.
What kind of talk is that? I didn't mean it. I didn't want to. I didn't know. You know what's the matter with both of you? You've got eye trouble.
Well,
when you get that eye out of the way, you're going to be all right.
Darling, the Pat Wells you read about in the paper wasn't me. Pat Wells is a boy.
A boy?
And the girl he was engaged to was Teddy Warner. I can show you their wedding invitation.
Oh, gosh. I've been a fool. Come here. Wonderful, you.
Oh, nothing matters now, sweetheart. Kiss me.
It's really beginning to pour. We'd better find shelter. I say, it's really beginning to pour. It's really beginning... Oh, it's getting monotonous, isn't it?
Well, we found the garage, and we got the distributor arm. Now, where's Jeff?
Oh, he's around somewhere with Pat.
Around with Pat?
Uh-huh.
But we've got to get the car fixed. What are they doing?
A pretty girl and a sailor? I don't know. But I'm sure they'll find something to do.
Huh? Well, they're probably quarreling again.
Quarreling,
yes.
Huh? Just like Janet and Jack. They're through with each other for life.
Oh, here they are, Jack.
Some shower hand, Charlotte.
Hey, you're all wet. That's hardly original, Jack. I've been told the same thing many times before.
We found a nice dry place under a tree.
Yeah. come on, Janet. Let's put the car top down. It isn't going to rain anymore.
Well, I give up. So do I. You know, I was beginning to worry. I thought they might get lost.
Sometimes, Judge, people have to get lost in order to find themselves.
Yes, I...
I don't say... Say, look, let's locate Jeff and have him put in this new distributor arm, or we never will get to the picnic grounds.
This is the picnic ground.
Well, this is the picnic... It is?
What? What's this?
In other words, it's the place we started out for.
It's the place we started... Then where is the other car?
It'll be along in marking Howard's roadmap. I gave him sort of a roundabout way.
Charlotte, what kind of escapade is this?
I wouldn't know, Mr. Anderson. You know, I can't tell one escapade from another.
Oh, you can? Well, when something is unnerving, provoking, and disturbing, what do they call it?
Reveille.
Reveille.
Please, now, wait a moment. I've been making a few deductions.
Well, Judge, you certainly have got a nice day for it.
Point one. You knew perfectly well where we were going. You didn't need a map. Point two. You brought those young people here for a purpose. Point three.
No, Judge. No, you're wrong about point three. The broken distributor and the shower, I had nothing to do with. But they helped.
I still don't get it.
Oh, it's all very simple, Mr. Anderson. When people are inside a house and get angry,
yeah,
they can walk out and slam the door behind them, maybe forever. But when you're outside, there are no doors to slam, no place to walk out of.
Oh, that's right.
All there is here, in the open. They have to talk it over. And when you talk things over, you can usually straighten out anything.
Well, yes.
And besides, who could stay angry on a lovely day like this?
Hey, there's the other car now.
Here you are, Miss Greenwood.
Well, I got here, Miss Greenwood.
Hello, everybody.
Gee, this is a swell place for a picnic. When do we eat? Hope there's no bumblebees around.
Yeah, I sure hate to run onto one face to face.
Face to face is all right. The trouble starts at the other end.
Hey, Miss Greenwood, where's Pat, huh? Where is she?
Pat's gone for a walk in the woods.
Woods? Gee whiz. She shouldn't have done that. Well, this is a wild country. She might get hugged by a bear.
Howard, a bear wouldn't make any impression on a girl after she's been hugged by a sailor.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
Greenwood will be back in a moment. Meanwhile, I want to remind you again, the next time you buy a card for any occasion, look on the back for the identifying words, a Hallmark card. H-A-L-L-M-A-R-K. A Hallmark card. Like sterling on silver, those three words are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Yes, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And now, Charlotte Greenwood.
Friends, we've been asked by our government to save paper. Now, paper may seem a tiny item, and yet, in the task that lies before us, nothing, no matter how small, is unimportant. You know, I'm reminded of a little verse. This is a world of great events, of tremendous happenings, and yet they're curiously made up of a lot of little things. A glorious victory is proclaimed, a continent set free, but many men have shared in that, yes, and folks like you and me. Another hard path lies ahead, and we'll only reach our goal through the everlasting power of everlasting soul. No matter what besets our way, nor what the struggle brings, remember, great conclusions come through success of little things. Until next Sunday at the very same time, Mrs. Charlotte Reed would say,
so long, friends, until we meet again. So long, neighbor, till next Sunday, I'll just say, so long.
So long.
And D.H. Johnson, directed by Thomas C. Baron Smith. By special arrangement, Miss Constance Moore played the part of Patricia Wells. Others in the regular cast, with Miss Greenwood, were John Brown, Charles Cantor, Edward Ryan, who appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox, and Vanessa Brown, by arrangement with Mervyn LeRoy. This is Wendell Niles speaking. This program came to you from Hollywood.
In just a moment, over most of these stations, you'll hear Paul Whiteman's Summer Hour, the Mary Max, and lovely Georgia Gibbs. This is the Blue Network of the American Broadcasting Company.
3 o'clock at KECA, Los Angeles.